Fargo Comunis, and I am an MD candidate and recently finished my MPH last year, which was the context for my working with this group. So I'm going to be kind of taking us on into the conclusion of our discussion by talking about the regulation of healthcare in China. So first I'm going to discuss the role and purpose of regulation of healthcare in China. And then I'm going to discuss the current regulatory environment and its challenges. And finally conclude with recommendations for improving the regulatory system. So again, we go back to this schematic of analysis of the health system. And so now I'm talking about kind of the captain or the head of the health system, which is regulation. So this can be thought of as the range of governmental tools enacted to overcome market failures in healthcare. This does so by enacting and enforcing rules followed by actors of the system, be it the public health sector or the medical care sector, human resource generation and quality control, or setting rules for financing and payment schemes. So now I'm going to discuss two aspects of healthcare in China where there are market failures calling for the need for better and more effective regulation. Two of the major issues facing China's healthcare system include escalating medical costs, as discussed earlier, and inadequate medical quality and safety. In terms of cost escalation, this graph here shows the significant increases in health expenditures over the past 10 to 25 years. Here, this graph shows health expenditures in renminbi on the closer y-axis, and on the far y-axis is the percentage of GDP spent on health. The yellow bars indicate that total health expenditures have increased rapidly since 1980, and the blue line reflects that nearly 4.75% of GDP is spent on health as compared to approximately 3.25% 25 years ago. This graph shows that the majority of the increase in healthcare expenditure has come from out-of-pocket spending by patients, as Wensheng discussed earlier, rather than from increased government spending. So the challenge for government regulation is to regulate factors which lead to out-of-pocket spending. Several factors account for these cost escalations. One issue is that the market-oriented reform of healthcare systems has changed incentives for health facilities, and this has been mentioned earlier. But for example, because government subsidies have decreased, health facilities now rely more on user fee-for-service payments to increase revenues. Prescription drugs and diagnostic technologies have become major sources of revenue for providers because they are allowed to mark up beyond cost. Regulations have failed to properly police these practices, and consequently, providers have an incentive to overprescribe and overuse expensive diagnostics. Ultimately, this cost escalation lead to a lower utilization rate of healthcare services, unequal access to basic health services, and public dissatisfaction with the healthcare system. One of the primary goals of regulatory reform, therefore, is to create and enforce regulations which reduce such dramatic financial burdens to consumers. So, in addition to addressing cost escalation, regulations can also be used to improve medical quality and safety. Failures of quality and safety have been the focus of media attention recently, and this has been true both in China and in international media, as you may have seen recently. News stories in China suggest that conflicts between doctors and patients due to medical accidents and errors have increased significantly in recent years. There are more frequent reports of adverse drug reactions due to counterfeit and low-quality drugs, both in China and abroad. In addition, the inappropriate use of services, such as increased rate of antibiotic use because of financial incentives and public pressure to prescribe antibiotics, has led to lower quality and safety of clinical services. issue of drug safety has now become the focus of international attention, not only because of the impact of patients in China, but also because of the impact of global markets and populations. For example, a New York Times article last week raised concern as to the regulatory void that has allowed poisonous chemicals to be sold as medicine on the global market. Specifically, this article pointed to a lack of oversight over chemical companies which have provided intermediate ingredients and also illegally marketed active pharmaceutical ingredients found to be poisonous and the cause of patient fatalities in Haiti, Panama, and other countries. The article suggested that the problem is a function of both regulatory capacity and regulatory jurisdiction. In terms of capacity, the article suggests that Chinese authorities may not have enough investigators to regulate the many small companies making these drug ingredients. And in terms of regulatory jurisdiction, the article points out that while the State Food and Drug Administration has regulatory jurisdiction over pharmaceutical companies, it doesn't have regulatory jurisdiction over those chemical companies which have produced intermediate ingredients used in various drugs. So in this next section, I'll discuss the current system of healthcare regulation in China. This is a framework that can be used to think about the process of regulation. So just briefly, first there's the question of what to regulate, such as regulating health facilities, pharmaceuticals, or healthcare personnel. Then there's the question of what variable to regulate, whether entry of health facilities into the system, quality of pharmaceuticals, or the quantity of healthcare personnel. And finally, there's the question of who regulates these various variables. So this table shows two examples of regulation related to cost containment in China. In terms of health facilities, a number of regulatory entities, including the State Development and Reform Committee, the Ministry of Health, and the State Administration for Commodity Prices, and the Ministry of Labor and Social Security, regulate reimbursements and payments to health facilities. The Ministry of Health and the State Administration for Industry and Commerce regulate competitive practices, such as advertisements, purchase of high-tech equipment for health facilities. So basically, what the message here is that there are multiple actors involved in regulation in this instance. In terms of pharmaceutical regulation, the State Food and Drug Administration is in charge of regulating drug entry into the market, and the State Development and Reform Committee is charged with regulating the price of pharmaceuticals. And again, in this instance, as I mentioned earlier, although the State Food and Drug Administration is charged with the jurisdiction over entry of drugs, it doesn't necessarily cover jurisdiction over chemicals that end up in drugs. So several problems exist within this current regulatory environment. For example, although the government sets actual prices for medical services, a flexible markup is allowed for new equipment and treatment. Providers can decide which services to use and tend towards more expensive treatments and services in order to increase revenue. Additionally, government subsidy to hospital is based on the scale of the hospital, not on performance. So rather than encouraging hospitals to improve efficiency and performance, this kind of approach encourages hospitals to enlarge in scale. Finally, payment from social insurance to hospitals is usually based on fee-for-service. The problem here is that fee-for-service encourages increased volumes without necessarily encouraging improved quality or outcomes. The second point, in terms of competitive practice regulations of health facilities, which would include things like advertisements, hospitals compete to attract more patients by purchasing high-tech equipment and then advertise that they have these high-tech equipment. So, however, the regulations on the use and purchase of this equipment is weak, leading to overuse of high-tech services when not necessarily clinically indicated. Secondly, medical advertisements are regulated by several different ministries, leading to holes in the regulatory system and ineffective penalties for reducing illegal advertisements. In terms of pharmaceutical regulation, so the regulation of drug registration has pointed to the low standard, or some of the media attention on the regulation of drug registration has pointed to the low standards for new drug registration and corruption during the process of drug regulation, or drug registration. In terms of price regulation of drugs, while the FDRC sets price guidelines for a large number of drugs, new drugs can be priced above the guideline prices. As a result, pharmaceutical companies can re-register their products with new drugs by making only minor changes to the original drug and thereby take advantage of a higher price. This slide shows the regulations related to medical quality and safety. The Ministry of Health is responsible for entry of health facilities into the market, and a variety of actors, including the Ministry of Health, NGOs, and the judicial system, serve as the watchdog over health facility quality. The Ministry of Health and NGOs oversee the entry and quality of healthcare personnel, and the State Food and Drug Administration and Ministry of Health are responsible for drug quality and safety. Some of the problems that exist with respect to medical quality and safety regulation include the following. First, there are loose regulations of health facilities and healthcare personnel in suburban and rural areas, which allow for uncertified practitioners to see patients. Secondly, there is poor enforcement of quality control in health facilities, as current practice guidelines are merely guidelines and not vigorously enforced. And furthermore, the superficial and non-independent accreditation of hospitals leads to a conflict of interest because the government is acting as both owner and regulator of hospitals. And finally, in terms of regulations of drugs, as suggested by the New York Times article mentioned earlier, drug regulation problems stem from both a lack of adequate oversight and due to fragmented regulatory jurisdiction and lack of coordination between regulatory agencies, in addition to corruption of regulatory bodies. To summarize, fundamental challenges of healthcare regulation in China include the following. First, there is a fragmented structure of the regulatory system, where at least 11 ministries are involved in developing and regulating the health system, each with their own objectives, approaches, and interests. Coordination between the ministries has been poor, leading to gaps in regulations and poor enforcement of existing regulations. Secondly, there is conflict of interest in the current regulatory structure. For example, the fact that the Ministry of Health owns public hospitals creates a conflict of interest to their role in regulating the public hospital. Thirdly, there is a lack of accountability for cost and quality failures, leading to corruption and dereliction of duty, as seen earlier this year with the Food and Drug Association scandal. And fourth, there's a lack of regulatory capacity. Healthcare regulation requires high professional approaches, but current regulatory human resources don't appear to be sufficient to meet the requirements. Secondly, current regulations mostly impose penalties after the fact, rather than establishing incentives for following particular guidelines in the first place. And finally, there's minimal, albeit growing, social participation in the regulation system through groups such as the media and non-governmental organizations. So in terms of recommendations, I'll just address a few of them. The first recommendation is to integrate the fragmented regulatory functions across ministries with the ultimate goal of forming a national health committee. This group would consist of representatives from the various ministries involved in healthcare regulation and help to coordinate regulatory responsibilities across these ministries. The second recommendation is to reform the governance structure of public hospitals in order to separate the ownership and regulatory responsibilities conducted by currently, there's not adequate accountability of regulatory agencies, leading to such scandals as with the FDA's head. In the new scheme, the National Health Committee would regulate the regulators and be accountable for their failures. The fourth recommendation is to improve regulation capacity by enhancing the professional capacity of regulatory bodies. And finally, in the long term, to increase social participation through a stronger role for the media and potentially for non-governmental actors.